The following is a special presentation of Tony Curry Radio.
Welcome back to Kiefer and Curry. If you were just listening to us here on our Tony Curry Radio network of stations all over the place, and of course, where we get your favorite podcast available on every major industry, including our YouTube channel on Tony Curry Radio. You just heard Kip Kiefer doing Need to Know, and then I get a chance to actually talk to the guy. We just come up with about anything we want to talk about, and as I was preparing for our show tomorrow, our K4 Win show, that's a gambling show that's doing quite well, thank you very much. We've started the year off quite well with a full weekend of pro and college football. It's just fantastic to have football day Saturday and Sunday. It's just been reported that our show, ABC 3340's The Starting Lineup, is going to butt up against Alabama, Wisconsin, coming up at 11 o'clock this Saturday morning. So you're going to be watching Kip Kiefer, Tony Curry, the legend, Terry, and of course, Case Kiefer live from Las Vegas, coming up here from 10:30, 11 o'clock, right before the Alabama, Wisconsin kickoff. And by the way, since we're doing this, I like to come up with different things because we talk. I got to talk some college football today. We good with that? Can we do that?
I'm always good with talking college football.
You just got back from Las Vegas. Your son handicaps football games, so you're as close to being a handicapper, and you do your own handicapping show. So I'm throwing out the games. You're giving me the lines. Are you ready?
Okay.
Wisconsin at Alabama. The game at 11 o'clock, right up against our big shindig show, the starting lineup.
Yeah, that's awesome.
What's the line on that? I know it's going to be killer, isn't it?
I with traveling all night and rallying this morning for TKR duty, I have not scrutinized the lines that have
That's
come out
why I'm
morning.
Asking you. I want to hear how close you are, brother.
Oh, you want my line?
Oh yeah, no, I want you to tell me what the line is. What is the line?
I would make Alabama a 21-point favorite.
You are damn good. 20 and a half. How about South Alabama at Auburn? What's the line?
Auburn's going to be pretty good. I was impressed, Tony, that South Alabama played Tulane so tough this week. So South Alabama might not be the tasty pastry that everybody thinks that they were going to be. Mm-hmm. But I would say Auburn would probably be 17.
25 and a half.
Wow. I think maybe South Alabama is a little better than the experts think. As the
according to you, quite a bit.
Just retired Lee Corso. That game might be a little closer than the experts.
If your son had that line at 17 and he's looking at it, and all of a sudden it pops out as 25 and a half, he'd be all over that bad boy.
And that's an interesting point, Tony, you make, because he always stresses that. That Monday morning is what he lives for, because that's when the lines come out. He makes his own lines. He's got all of his data and his math, and he's very meticulous on this. And he makes a line on the games based on his research. And on Monday, that's the first thing he does is compare. I find it fascinating. Other people wait till Friday or even the day of the game. Case always tells us he's got 80% of his bets made on Monday morning. That's when he pounces.
There you go. Since we're talking local schools here, we've done Auburn, we've done Alabama. UAB hosting Akron at Progressive Stadium. Of course, UAB gets inside the number this past week. That was a pick from Case. I actually thought Navy was going to get it. It was not one of my plays, but we did put the UAB play up. But I did have a big play on the over, which landed at 62, which was great. It was a winner-winner chicken dinner. I'd be playing the over, although I may not play the over this weekend. But UAB hosting Akron. You want to give it a stab?
Akron's a pretty bad team.
They're really bad. They have not scored this year. Akron has not scored yet. They lost 68-0 and 10-0 to Nebraska and Wyoming.
What worries me is, looking at UAB's performance against Alabama State, that was not very inspiring. And I imagine Akron probably has similar talent level. So if it were me, I would not be making UAB a gigantic favorite. I would say maybe 8 or 9.
11 and a half.
Okay, pretty close.
And what do you think that over-under is?
It's probably, I would guess somewhere in the mid-40s.
It's 53 and a half.
Wow, it's higher than I thought.
Well, and I said earlier in the year that anything below 60, I'm taking every week. against UAB.
Because you know you've got that defense classified.
And listen, at one point the over under was like close to 86. If you were playing real live in that Navy game, they just fell apart towards the end. But it still went over. It was well over before the final whistle went off. So everyone was like, well, that was a close one. It really wasn't. That thing was flying over from the get go.
I mean, can UAB even win 4 or 5 games this year, Tony?
Their over or under on victories was 4.5, and they're already
I think it's looking ominous.
I will say this: they must win this football game. They've got to win. First of all, it's at home. Second of all, it's against Akron. They have not scored. Now, Akron, listen, I think Akron could put up 20 points on this defense. I really do. So I'm still going to fly on the over, but I think UAB is going to put some points up. But I think it's going to be 45-20, kind of something like that. Here's one I think is really interesting. South Florida, them Bulls are playing out of their brains, man. They're 2-0. They're at Miami. What's the line on that there, Kip Kiefer?
Oh, Miami's got to be a decent favorite, but I imagine the Florida game got some of the odds makers' attention too. But I bet Miami is probably going to be a little bit more of a favorite than Florida even was, because they were 17.5, which I thought was outrageously high. Was definitely in the South Florida camp this week. I didn't really predict them to win the game outright. I'm going to say Miami's going to be 20, 21?
16.5. You're close.
Okay. Well, they did water it down.
It's about where it should be. I mean, you know, at some point, South Florida, you got to go, I mean, they just keep getting disrespected. They keep coming back and playing these great ball games against these killer schools. And now they've got another lineup against Miami. Speaking of a killer lineup, Notre Dame, of course, they lost their first ball game. Now for game two, they're going to play A&M, the 2-0 Aggies. Notre Dame's at home. A&M at Notre Dame. What's the line?
Notre Dame's probably 7.5, which I think's absurd.
7 is right there. It's 7. Yep. Yeah, spot on. You think that's too high?
Because watch out. Don't sleep on this Texas A&M team. They got a lot of people back. They've got an experienced quarterback, which a lot of teams can't say that. Marcel Reed played a lot last year, doing some great things. I'm gonna go ahead and declare this is my first upset alert this week.
Yeah.
I think the Aggies can go in there, because remember I said I thought Notre Dame was being way overhyped in the preseason. I didn't think they'd win at Miami. They did not. Although Miami tried in Mario Cristobal, their head coach's great ability to do this, to give the game back to them when they had total control of it. But I think this is a very dangerous spot for Notre Dame, because I even said before the season on the starting lineup that I wouldn't be the least bit surprised if Notre Dame starts 0-2, and I'm sticking to that.
I'm smelling some money line there. That'd be pretty good. I don't know what a money line would be on 6.5 or 7, but it'd probably pay pretty well.
Pretty good, yeah.
Yeah. Pair of 2-0 SEC teams, 2-0 Sammy Pittman's Arkansas Razorbacks and Ole Miss. Ole Miss had it against, I mean, everyone was taking Ole Miss because the revenge factor in Kentucky got them last year. If you listen to K4 Wins, we told you the last 4 times they played had been decided by a total of 10 points. Ole Miss had them on the ropes early in that ball game. It certainly fell within 10, although Ole Miss gets the victory. Not particularly entertaining from a standpoint of getting the cover by any stretch, but they did go to 2-0. And, of course, Arkansas, we had Arkansas on that because Sam Pittman. I thought it was so funny because during his press conference, Arkansas State was actually asking the – asking their AD if they would entertain having a home-at-home with Arkansas State. It's the first time that Arkansas State in Arkansas has played football against each other ever. Yep. And it's the longest in the history of any sport that an interstate school has not played another FBS school in a game. So if he's like, for some reason, we haven't played them like ever. And he goes, now they're asking for a home at home. He goes, yeah, that's not going to happen.
No.
So now you got Arkansas on the road at Ole Miss. Ole Miss kind of shaking their heads a little bit. What's going on there? And what do you think the line is?
I think Ole Miss has to be. I'm going to say 14.
9.5.
How many?
9.5.
Oh, that's crazy. There's a winner for you.
Okay.
Because Arkansas has beaten Alabama A&M and Arkansas State. That line is way out of line. Traylon Green, the quarterback for Arkansas, is a good player. Ole Miss at home, I think they win handily.
I'm putting money on them. I'm going to do a pull of case today because I know that line's going to go at 9.5. I love 9.5. 10.5,
yeah,
maybe not so much,
up.
But 9.5,
that's,
yeah.
That's a great example of what we just were talking about because, you know, I don't know. That line is, to me, that's off almost a touchdown.
Yeah, another SEC matchup, Vandy at South Carolina. My Gamecocks, who I've got going to the playoffs, are hosting the Vanderbilt Commodores, who I have bet against this year one time. I've won some money against them. What do you like in that game?
Let's talk about Vanderbilt. Mm-hmm. I mean, what an incredible job in the last 2 years Clark Lea has done.
Yes.
He was if folks don't know about Clark Lea, he was defensive coordinator at Notre Dame. He was a Vanderbilt graduate. When Mason, the coach, was fired a couple of years ago, they reached out to him to come home and coach the team. He took it with great enthusiasm, came in, thought he was going to turn everything around. And Clark Lea will tell you, and he has made a couple of really eloquent speeches of having the realization his first couple of years there that, you know, all these great plans he had are not working. Got to do something different. He thought he was going to come home and be the conquering hero, and he realized he was had one foot out the door because they were getting drubbed every week. And Clark Lea did something, Tony, so innovative last year when he saw this was 2 years ago, I guess, when he saw New Mexico State come into Jordan-Hare Stadium and Diego Pavia and one of the worst programs in the country, New Mexico State, beat Auburn like a drum that day, a week before the Iron Bowl, where Alabama had to score on the last play of the game, as you remember, on the Gravedigger play.
Yep.
Auburn dominated Alabama that whole game. Alabama ended up winning the SEC championship. But the week before, New Mexico State had clobbered them.
Yeah, they did.
He flew out to try and recruit Diego Pavia after what he saw. But after meeting with Jerry Kill, the coach of New Mexico State, and a lot of the players, he not only got Diego Pavia to transfer, Jerry Kill resigned as head coach, became his offensive coordinator, and they brought six other of the best players from New Mexico State to Vanderbilt in the biggest group transfer before the Southern Miss Marshall deal this year.
And then smart kids too. You can't just transfer to Vanderbilt to play football because you want to. You have to have the grades to get in. That's amazing.
Exactly, and look what they did on the road at Virginia Tech on Saturday.
Yeah.
Virginia Tech played South Carolina really tough, right down to the wire, in Atlanta in the kickoff game a week ago Sunday. Vanderbilt goes up there and gets down 20-13 at the half. They end up winning 44-20. They shut the Hokies out in the second half in their Lane Stadium in Blacksburg, which is impossible to get to, and many teams have suffered terrible fates there. Vanderbilt is not Vanderbilt anymore, Tony. The world's upside down. The Commodores are the real thing. I think the South Carolina Vanderbilt game is going to be fantastic. I'm sure South Carolina's double digit favorite.
It is 5.5.
Oh, well, see, Vanderbilt's getting respect now.
You're getting some love.
I would have to go the other direction. There and take the Gamecocks at home, as much as I respect what Vanderbilt's doing.
That's a tricky line.
I thought it would be 12 or 13, so I'm way off on it. My line and that line are way off.
Yeah, that Vautech loser, by the way, was the only loser that I've had so far this year in the starting lineup. I'm 5-1.
I know.
I'm doing pretty good. I was 2-0, and I was feeling good about that. And, you know, like you said, they were up by 7. Man, that is one of the when they're doing Enter Sandman, I mean, it's almost impossible to pick against Vautech at home just because of the way that stadium gets. And they come out with so much adrenaline in the second half, it just kind of falls apart. And, you know,
that just shows you this is not your run-of-the-mill Vanderbilt teams. Clark Lea is doing an amazing job. Dare we say that Vanderbilt, who will of course will play Alabama and Auburn both this year again. Vanderbilt is Alabama, the state of Alabama's daddy. Diego Pavia is 3-0 against Alabama and Auburn in the last two seasons.
This was supposed to be Billy Napier's, I don't want to say come out year because he's been there for a while. But everyone, I think the over-under was 9, 9.5 on victories, which is pretty doggone high. Maybe it was 8, 8.5, somewhere around. Anyway, they expected him to win about 9 ball games at Florida, which you win 9 games in the SEC, you're doing something right. Now they go on the road against Brian Kelly's LSU Bayou Bengal Tigers. What is the line in that game?
Well, LSU's, after the disaster with South Florida, I'm going to say LSU's, let's say, 8.
Well, you're close. 9. That's a lot to be given up in that spot, too. Again, that 10-point line is like really, it kind of tells you.
Because LSU did not look good on Saturday night against Louisiana Tech. Uh-uh. Now, that Tony, you always hear people throw terms around, and a lot of people don't really know what they mean. That game for LSU was the ultimate sandwich game.
Yep.
They open at Clemson. They have a resounding win. They get Louisiana Tech at home, and then they got Florida coming in. Louisiana Tech, for those kids playing against LSU, that was the Super Bowl. Mm-hmm. For LSU, it was, we're playing Louisiana Tech. And they struggled, and they didn't play very well. But it was kind of a sandwich trap game, and they've survived it. Now they got the Gators coming in, but man, this Gator team, we mentioned South Florida too. You know, their coach is named Golish. Mm-hmm. Nobody's ever heard of him. He was an Ohio State graduate, played football there, but he is, can you take a wild guess where, and I can't think of his first name, where Golish was born?
Mm-mm.
Moscow, Russia.
I was going to say Poland, so I was close.
Yeah. Polish and Golish.
Golish.
He was actually born, and he wasn't an American there. He was born of Russian parents. They immigrated to the United States legally when he was 3 years old with his brother. So with the success and the way he's turned South Florida around, I'm wondering if athletic directors are having a search as we speak of potential great Russian coaches that can come to the United States, because Golich now has made himself a hot property. I even hear Florida fans grousing. Of course, on my Sunday morning show on Jocks Radio here in Birmingham, last week it was the world's coming to an end because Alabama lost to Florida State. Now everybody's back in love with the Tide after winning 73-0. But now Florida fans are calling, we need to get this Golish guy to come and take Sunbelt Billy's place.
Yeah,
it's amazing how you just can be just catapulted to the top of the mountain with one big win.
The knee jerk in the first few weeks of a season is always good.
It's unbelievable.
So
the swing.
So we talk about, I've been talking about smelly fishes my entire life. This is when you see a line, you're like, this is a smelly fish. Like you see the line and they're begging you to take one side, and you ever on paper, there's no reason why you shouldn't take the other side. That's why you should have Case Kiefer in your back pocket every single week on Tuesdays and Fridays, 10 o'clock Central Time, right here on Tony Curry Radio and on the Coastal Digital Sports Network. There was a smelly fish this past week. Illinois was giving up 2.5 to Duke. And by the way, do you know what the Duke quarterback is making this year in NIL money?
I do not.
What's that Duke's name? Mechie.
Yeah.
He's making $7.5 million this year to play quarterback at Duke.
That is lunacy.
He made zero last year, and he's making $7.5 million at Duke. And so I'm seeing Illinois come in to Duke land there, favored by 2.5, 3, and they're 11th in the country, and Duke's not even snipping the top 25. And I'm thinking to myself, they're begging me to take Illinois. So we stayed away from that game. But if I had a gun to my head, I'd take Duke, even though I hate it, just because the line. And what happens? Illinois blows them out. They did what a lot of people thought they'd do. You just don't see that very often. The betting public was all over Illinois, and they got it done this week. And there's two more games here that are like the smelly fishes to me. Georgia's going to play Neyland Stadium in Tennessee this weekend. What's the line?
Because Georgia was subpar this weekend, I think it's going to be tighter than you would have expected. I bet Georgia's only about a 3-point favorite.
You're spot on, 3.5. Three and a half. And I can tell you right now, the betting public, the public will be, Johnny Q will be all over Georgia in that game. Unless, of course, the Tennessee. Oh, my gosh. Kai Gregory, He's going to be, he'll have the bet of the year on the Georgia Bulldogs. You watch.
Yeah, and he's the ultimate Tennessee fan.
He's the ultimate goob. He'll be all over Georgia. You watch. All over tomorrow.
And you know, Kai's typical of a, well, you know, I'm gonna tout the other side because then if I'm wrong, then I'm not really unhappy. Exactly. So that's not, that's probably not the best methodology. Yeah. Maybe, you know, if you have a conflict in a legal case, you have to, step down, disqualify yourself from hearing it. Maybe on real allegiance teams, that's the policy we need to put in a K-4 that you have to recuse yourself because you can't be objective.
Yeah, no doubt. And then you and I kind of got into it a little bit on K-4 wins. Was it last week, the week before? We were talking about the Clemson Tigers. I had them winning a national title, and you were talking about, oh, look out, that game there at Georgia Tech there, week 3 is going to be. I said, come on. What are we doing here? We're talking about a guy who's won 2 national titles already. Didn't have to go to the portal. He's built his team up. He's got a 4-year quarterback. A guy threw 33 touchdowns and 4 picks last. Guy's unbelievable. He's going to be a Heisman Trophy winner. They got skill sets in the ACC. 6 of the top 10 skill set groups in the ACC. This team, I mean, it's them and everyone else, right? And of course, they're like preseason winner 4th or 5th or something like that. And some people were saying they were underrated. I'm thinking, oh my gosh, this Clemson. My son goes to school there, and you're like, you look out when they play the rambling wreck of Georgia Tech coming in week 3. What is that line, Clemson at Georgia Tech?
I bet it's not too big. I would say Clemson. It's sort of that same syndrome with Georgia, since everybody's really
stinks. It stinks.
You know, pounding on the Clemson fact that they trailed Troy 16-0. I didn't find that was a surprising early score, and then they righted the ship and came back and dominated the second half. But I imagine, you know, Tech's been impressive enough. I bet Clemson isn't any more than 3 or 4.
It's 4.
Yeah.
That's smelly fish, man. That smelly fish. They're begging you to take Clemson that game. I mean, when I say begging you, I'm just talking like your average fan will come up to you. For a person who's never made a bet in their life, they would look at that Illinois Duke game last week. They explain to me, you know, and even Kai, because Kai is very coy, okay? But he would say, why in the world is a team that's 11th in the country and supposed to win the Big Ten and has an outside case against Penn State and blah, 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 why would they only be a 2.5-point favorite at Duke, hoping like hell you'll take Illinois because they know it's all where all the money's going to go? But I bet you that your son, I think he said he had the line like at 4, 4.5 in that particular game. I'd be really interested to see what his computer spits out for the Clemson-Georgia Tech game. And yeah, you obviously have – you got a better feel for Clemson than I ever thought, because when I saw this at the beginning of the season, Clemson was favored by 8. That should tell you that line's dropped 4 points just since the beginning of the season, because they look so – I don't know what happened this past week. Troy is not a good football team. They're not good. And Clemson was at home. I will say this. Clemson Stadium, Death Valley, was empty. They had a lightning strike issue like 3 or 4 times. It was 93 degrees. My son was like, let's go to the game. I'm like, well, hell no. No. First of all, I'm not driving 5 hours to go watch a blowout, and particularly 93-degree weather. I'm not doing it. Now, this may be an interesting ball game. If Dabo loses to Georgia Tech, he's going to be starting the season 1-2. We had some problems in Happy Land. I'm not saying they're going to fire him. I'm just saying that because Clemson fans, man, this year is national champ, not making the 12 playoffs. This is national championship or nothing year for the Clemson Tigers. They haven't tasted that national championship for quite some time, and they're getting thirsty and hungry again. If they lose to Georgia Tech, only favored by 4, that's easy.
Yeah, I mean, I just think that, you know, like I say, I look at schedules a lot more than other people do, I think, and because I don't have computer rankings and, you know.
No, you can pick pretty good, yeah.
And Case is totally, yeah, I went 2-0 this week, by the way.
There you go.
I had Oklahoma and UNLV, which I knew was a lock, at home against UCLA, who might be the worst power team in the country. But anyway, doubling back on that, I look more and it, my system, I'm not trying to justify it, but it's what I do. I put a lot more emphasis on home and road games. I think road assignments are daunting in a lot of cases, and just historical matchups. And, you know, my biggest complaint with Clemson this going into this year, everybody was talking about how much productivity they got back, but it just stuck in my mind the two really big-time teams that they played that are national championship contenders, Georgia and Texas last year, basically beat Clemson like a drum.
Yeah.
So having the same guys back is good from the experience standpoint. A couple of years ago, people were trying to sell me here that Alabama's offensive line is going to be awesome because they have so much experience. I said, time out. They gave up 52 sacks last year with a mobile quarterback.
Not good.
So that's not very good experience. So I don't know. I look at more kind of from a practical standpoint than an emotional one. And I don't have a lot of data. So I do go by historical precedent, which is probably foolish. Just like you're saying, Troy on paper right now, not a good team. But Troy has been a giant pain in the rear end the last 10 years, playing better teams on the road. I bet they've covered most of those spreads over the years.
True.
It's just a program that just has just enough good players where people can say, "Oh, it's Troy. They're gonna be a tomato can." But they don't play that way. I mean, there's a lot of teams like that. But anyway, and that makes no logical sense year to year where the teams are completely different personnel wise, but that's kind of the only thing I have to go on.
And it works. So if you're watching a football and you're great with the eye test, I mean, if you feel it and you love it and you watch it every single week, you got a good idea and you can come within a couple points of other things. A couple other lines, interesting. Oklahoma on the road at Temple. Do you want to take a stab at that?
They've got to be double. They've got to be 17.
It's 24.5. Ohio, the Bobcats going to Ohio State.
Yeah, the Bobcats had a big win this week.
They
knocked off, who was it? Was it Virginia? Or, I can't remember, but they won outright against an ACC team. Ohio State's going to be 28.
They beat West Virginia 17-10.
West Virginia, that's right.
Yeah, Ohio State.
Rich Rodriguez back for his second term. Rich Rod.
Ohio State is 32.5.
32, yeah, 28. I was a little conservative.
And then UTEP at Texas, a couple of Texas teams. That's nice that Texas will be hosting UTEP. Do you remember when the Miners used to be kind of good? Didn't Mike Price go to UTEP for a while? Was it Mike Price?
He
went to,
He went after Let It Roll scandal. The Let It Roll scandal in Florida at Destin at the SEC meetings where he had a little side practice with a couple of guests in his room, and they helped themselves to the Alabama University credit card while he was playing in the golf deal the next day.
You can do that. You just can't let people know, Coach. I mean, and I remember being on the radio, and I remember how his players, the guy hadn't even coached a game. His players were standing up for him. His players were like, "Dude, please don't, you know, this is a great, coming from Wash State." I always wonder what would have happened if Mike Price would have actually become the coach.
Yeah, because
Rod. Rich Rod was a coach, too. Those are two.
I know.
It's like, wow.
And we got into that subject a little bit this weekend on the radio, too, about how Auburn and Alabama kind of shoot themselves in the foot. This was actually 2 weeks ago during all the DeBoer uproar. They won't even talk to a Deion Sanders or a Lane Kiffin because they won't, quote, be good fits here, unquote.
Yeah. They don't fit the culture.
A good fit for me is a guy who comes in and wins. I don't care if culturally he does not exactly your cup of tea or, you know, in Lane Kiffin's case, I remember during that time they wouldn't even interview him when they got DeBoer in right after Saban left because I heard one trustee make the comment that, well, you know, his flippant attitude, we just don't think he'd fit in here. All the stuff about the box of popcorn. The box of popcorn, Tony, was not an insult to Alabama. Yeah. It was that it was Lane Kiffin trying to be witty and say, hey, this is going to be a great show. Get your popcorn. That wasn't derogatory or, no. or insulting. People, there's never been an attempt at a joke that was so misunderstood as the box of popcorn line. All he was saying is it's going to be a good game.
Texas is 41.5, by the way. That'll be another game where Arch Manning will pad the stats. He'll have 11 or 12 touchdowns.
I caught a little bit of their game against San Jose. Again, I was indulged in family time and just caught glimpses of games. It was not the college. I had a marathon viewing party the first week. I sat here and watched college football for 15 hours.
Nice.
This weekend was completely different. But the little bit I saw, you know, you remember on the show, on the starting lineup, I predicted Texas was going to be the biggest bust of the year, and they were ranked number one preseason. I think their schedule has some trouble spots, but I just don't like how Sarkisian's Texas teams play. They just don't seem all in to me.
No,
and they beat San Jose's 38-7, but I still think Arch looks funny. His footwork isn't very good. He's still kind of slinging the ball. Now there's a big rumor that his shoulder's sore and he can't throw overhand. So I don't know what's going on there, but I don't like how Texas really looked last year under Sark.
I know I'm throwing something out. But I predict that by the end of the season, Archie Manning's not the quarterback of Texas.
Wow. Now that is breaking news.
It's either because he's banged up. Because I've heard the same thing about the shoulder. If you can't throw the football, you can't throw the football, period.
Yeah.
He is throwing a lot of sidearm stuff. I think you're looking at the future at this point. Because all it takes is a couple losses and Texas is going to go, hey, listen, we're going to shelve this guy. Let's get him healthy and let's get him going. Maybe another year with a clipboard would be a good thing for Archie. Because, listen, it's not fair what we've done to him. Just because he's got the Manning thing and the fact that we've thrown him under the bus and you know pretty much said that he is the second coming. He didn't ask for that. Now, he's got the Manning name. I mean, I'd rather have the Manning name than not have the Manning name. But when you sit there and say he's going to win the Heisman, by the way, his Heisman Trophy hopes, I think they went from like 10,000 to 650 again this week. It was 650, 10,000, 650. It goes back and forth. I'm like, dude, it's just a matter of when you want to buy in. Yeah, but, I mean, you look at the rest of their schedule, they still got an SEC schedule to play. But
Tony, I want to get your thoughts on this because I've been kind of beating this drum for the last couple of weeks. If Alabama, if you flip the opening game and they had opened against Louisiana Monroe and then went to Florida State this week, and you saw Ty Simpson complete 17 for 17 in the first half, Alabama played two more quarterbacks, they all threw touchdown passes, they went 73-0. But they didn't do that. They played Florida State first, then Louisiana Monroe. All of the backlash, all of the uproar, all of the DeBoer has to go. All of our cohort, the legend, going viral nationally again. He was on ESPN's Get Up last Tuesday after the Alabama loss. He was a guest on the ESPN morning program. Legend. But all that blowback, all that uproar, because all we heard all offseason was how Alabama's got it all together. Saban said on game day, on opening day, I've seen a whole different attitude this year with this team and this coaching staff. I look for great things. They go out there and lay an egg at Florida State and look terrible. Again, a true road opener, which I just cringe.
What do you expect from the former coach, though? What do you expect from the former coach? I know Nick Saban's going to tell it like it is. What do you expect Nick Saban to say?
Yeah. But then they go out there. The point is they build expectations up to such a point that you knew the Alabama Nation was going to go absolutely berserk when they saw that Florida State game and what just a listless effort that was and how they just got beaten every facet of the game. But if those games had been flipped and you had the Louisiana Monroe game first, what would have been the attitude? Tony, I'm convinced now, especially early in the year, it's not how you play. It's who you play.
There's no doubt. And in hindsight now, hindsight being 50-50, as Pat Dye would say, I'm glad they did play Florida State first and La Monroe second, just because it feels better, obviously, with a momentum standpoint coming off of 73-0. If they beat La Monroe, that victory doesn't mean anything if they're losing to FSU the following week. Now at least La Monroe looks like a starting point. It looks like a growth spurt a little bit. If that game's first of all, Simpson's the Heisman Trophy winner. Everyone in Tuscaloosa's happy, 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 and they lose to FSU. We have major issues being 1-1 after two games. Now You lost that game. You got it out of your system. You got La Monroe under your belt. You just blew them out, and now all's good in Alabama land. Now, all of a sudden, the kids are making practice on time. They're not playing with their ear pods during many meetings. You know, they're eating their green beans and you know, snapping their steak and all that other thing. And coach is, you know, giving them rough ass. It's all Junction Boys all over again. But I will say this now. I didn't think the Wisconsin game, I didn't think it'd be that high. Everyone's back on the Bama bandwagon. I mean, 21's, I mean, you're still talking a Big Ten school. I know this ain't the Wisconsin from 4 or 5 years ago, but still, if you could knock off a Wisconsin by 3 touchdowns, that would look pretty good for Bama.
Oh, definitely. But then again, all the enthusiasm, if that game ends up even being a 10-point Alabama win, then people are going to start to jump back off the bandwagon a little bit again. David Sears, our good friend and associate, producing our show on Saturday on Jocks, has a bet with Terry Quillian that Alabama will win at Athens in 2 weeks. They bet a steak dinner. Then a caller came and said, let's make this a little more have meaningful. Terry, if Alabama beats Georgia in Athens, you have to shave your head. Oh. She did not agree to that deal.
No, so. she don't need to be doing that. there's funny stupid and there's stupid. You don't want to do that. That's not good.
So Alabama Nation's confident now they're going to stroll into Athens. But do you know?
Well, if Georgia loses to Tennessee this weekend, I may have to go along with that, man.
Yeah, and somebody asked me my prediction. I said, well, I've got to see the Tennessee game first. I got to see the Alabama-Wisconsin game first. Yeah. We're not to that game yet. You can't predict what's going to happen. And there's a week off for both teams between that game, these games, too. So. But this is an interesting fact that a lot of people don't consider, and these are the things that I kind of grind on a little bit. But, you know, all this talk about how Alabama owns Kirby Smart and the Bama hater, who's a famous caller on all the shows, says that, you know, Kirby Smart always does something stupid against Alabama and throws the game away. He says, but I'd like to be a forensic accountant and look at Kirby Smart's bank account on those weeks that they're playing Alabama, because he's convinced that Kirby's still getting a big payoff from Alabama to not perform well, which is ridiculous.
That's hilarious.
But the bottom line is, do you know that they have Kirby Smart has played Alabama 6 or 7 times and only beaten them once in the national championship game, albeit the most important time. But Alabama in the Kirby Smart era of, this is his 10th year, this is the first time that Alabama's ever played in Sanford Stadium when Kirby Smart's the coach. Wow. I didn't realize that.
Wow,
and
Bama's usually done pretty good with all the Georgia Bulldog blackouts and stuff for the past.
But look at Alabama on the road in recent years everywhere. Mm-hmm. So, you know, that's a big thing that creates alarm bells for me, because Alabama in Tuscaloosa has not had bad performances in recent years at all. But even the last couple of years of Saban, they lost a lot of games on the road. What I don't know what the difference is when those guys get away from T-Town and Bryant Denny. But Alabama has been a bad road team in the last 3 or 4 years, even before DeBoer.
Tomorrow and Friday, 10 o'clock Central. Make sure you're listening up. Just go to our YouTube channel, Tony Curry Radio, or the K4 Wins YouTube channel. Check it out. It's fantastic. The show is going to be live also on the Digital Coastal Sports Network. And of course, you can also, we'd like to do things on Tuesday. We'll talk some NFL. We'll talk some college stuff tomorrow. Well, you and I, I've done that just so my prep is halfway finished for tomorrow morning.
Yeah, that's great.
So we're already ahead of the game. We've already got some good talking points for tomorrow. So you and I are done for the day. We're finished. But great stuff, my friend, and I will see you later this week for the starting lineup. And then right after the starting lineup, it is Alabama and the Badgers of Wisconsin. I couldn't think of a better way to start my Saturday morning.
Yeah, leading into the Alabama game. That's as good as it gets, and our show's been fun. We've got some competitions going. And, Tony, if anybody's in the Birmingham area, for a final thought, tomorrow night, Tuesday, 5 to 7, Social Taco. We're going to have a big, big kickoff party for this football week. We're going to have free T-shirts, prizes to give away. We had a nice turnout for our first one a couple weeks ago. Mm-hmm. Turning up the heat here, going to try to double that and have a big occasion. If you want to come and meet the famous legend, the Birmingham broadcast icon, hopefully we can get Tony Curry, send a limo for him.
Oh, yeah.
And other luminaries. We're going to have a big, big time at Social Taco. It's right there in the Soho complex. close to downtown, close to all areas. It's really centrally located. So put it on your calendar. Come say hello. Come talk some football. And if you want to be on the starting lineup, we're going to have cameras rolling. People can make predictions. It's your chance to make your TV debut, so don't miss it. Social Taco, Tuesday night, September 9th, 5 to 7. Be there.
This has been a special presentation of Tony Curry Radio.